Wow, I love that video. That is just awesome. And Linwood, by the way, on it today, right? I mean, what about Linwood? Was that good? I mean, he's just, I realized he was doing stand-up comedy and coming out with all kinds of stories and stuff, but man, love it. Linwood, our children's minister, Eli, our youth minister, and a number of people, an army of people, did something very, very special this last week. So I want to tell you a little story about what happened at a little church in Wildwood on Thursday night. I don't know if you were here or not, but all over our county, there were people doing, you know, Halloween stuff and trick-or-treating. And right here on our property, what they tell me is about 1,200 people showed up to get, pretty amazing, for free. Inflatables everywhere. I mean, just giant inflatables and free candy. In fact, I heard this year was the first time we ever ran out of candy. There were so many kids coming through, and or else some of them were taking 25 pounds of candy on their own or going through. But just an amazing experience as they went through and saw, just again, so many of you who served and loved on the kids and the families who showed up here. They tell me that we had these little magnets that we gave out with the church times or service times on them, and we gave over 600 of those magnets to families. And over 800 hot dogs were eaten. That's a lot of hot dogs. I know some of y'all ate like 6 or 7 on your own, but still, it was that's pretty amazing. And just to see y'all serving. Ernie Quinn over here. Ernie, raise your hand. If you can raise your hand. All right, look. I'm pretty sure the man went down into the dunk tank and back up about 142 times. Said he could barely get up the next day. But I'll tell you what, that's the heart of service. And that's not just Ernie and Linwood and Eli and the team, but all of you who came and showed up to show the love of God to the people around us, because that's what this is all about. You know, that's why we do the Halloweeny roast and pretty much everything we do around here, because God loves us. And he wants us to serve him because he first served us and he first loved us. So I just want to tell you, if you're here today from the Halloweeny roast, maybe this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And I want you to know how much God really, really does love you. And so do we. God created you to love you, and he wants to use your life, and he wants to use my life, all of our lives, for his glory and the good of the world. And I think that's what we saw on Thursday night. We saw people who love God and love people and serve God and serve people in their own special ways. And that's what this series is all about, this shape of you. It's about how God made us in a special way. He designed you to serve him, the shape of you. So I want to go ahead and clarify the title real quick, okay? It's not about a pop song that you can't get out of your head, all right? Maybe you heard on the radio, all right? In fact, it's not even primarily about you. This series is about serving God for his glory and the good of others. It's all about him. Just like Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, I want you to hear the words of God. Listen, it says, if anyone serves, he should do so with the strength that God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, not us, not the church. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is all about God and who he is. But and we want to bring glory to him, but he's going to do that through you. You and I. You see, you were created especially by God to do especially you things for God. I didn't have to think back very far for some key verses for this message. Last month, we talked from the book of Ephesians. Hopefully, you were here for that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you might remember this, that we are God's masterpiece, that we are his handiwork. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. For what? To do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I think what happened on Thursday night was a good work. Maybe something God had planned in advance, and then you came around and you were a part of that. Because the fact is, you can discover and you can do his good works, just like he did last week. So I have to ask you this. What especially you things did God create you to do? How can you make an eternal difference in your world? And what are you meant to become? What are you here for? You know, some of us spend our whole lives trying to figure this out. Some find it out early, some find it out later, some, unfortunately, never figure it out at all. What are we meant to be, to do, to lead? Well, let me give you the answer. You were meant for something. You were meant to be something. You were meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You were meant to be a disciple of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Now, today, and for all of eternity, to follow Jesus now so that you can follow him into heaven. That's who you are to be. That's what you are meant to be. You are also meant to do something. You are meant to be used by God. You are meant to be a disciple maker, to do disciple making stuff, to help other people follow Jesus, to find out why they were born and what they were meant to be. And you were meant to lead. You were meant to lead kingdom work. His mission on earth. And kingdom leadership means that wherever you are, bringing the kingdom of Jesus to the earth, but loving God and loving others and serving God and serving others. So we become, we be, and we do, and we lead. And it all starts with discovering your God-given shape. Shape, S-H-A-P-E. Now, I know what you're thinking right now, maybe, possibly thinking, what in the world are you talking about my shape for, all right? Like, I looked in the mirror this morning, all right? Now, whether you're impressed by your shape or not, you're certainly impressed by your neighbor's shape, all right? So take a look at him, all right? Tell him you're impressed with, no, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Unless you need, like, a phone number or something, then maybe. But that was inappropriate. All right, so think about that. I'm not talking about your outer shape. Some of you are thinking, oh, I got this, man. Like, round is a shape. All right, I've heard that before. All right, don't make fun of my shape. I've heard people say, hey, pear is a shape. I'm pear-shaped. You know, that we're not talking about your outer shape, your outer being. We're talking about who you are inside and who God created you to be. S-H-A-P-E. If you've been in Foundations, you're one of our members, then you're familiar with this acronym that we use around here. The S stands for spiritual gifts, to be able to discover your spiritual gifts, your heart, your passions, the things that you're crazy about inside, the abilities that you have, A, the skills, the talents, or the personality God has given you, who you're wired and how you're wired and your experiences, things that you've gone through that no one else has. Because the fact of the matter is, you are you. Everyone else has been taken. And you have a shape. You can learn about this stuff on our website. I encourage you to do that, to go check it out. Join us on Wednesday nights. We've been studying this at 6:30 up in Building B. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about that right here on this stage. The shape of you and the shape of CCW2. Because together, you know what? Our family, this church, CCW, has a shape. We are a unique church family. We've got spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experiences of our own. All of us matter. You matter. And you make CCW who she is. You and I, all of us together right here, right now. So today and next week, I want to talk about the shape of CCW. And I want to begin today by talking about the shape specifically of leadership. The shape of leadership. Now, the perception of leadership in our world today might be in bad shape. And I want to give you an example. Our young adults, ages 18 to 35, and I just received this email this week from Barna Research and World Vision. They put together this online survey of 15,369 young adults ages 18 to 35 across 25 countries. And they found that 4 out of 5 affirm, and nearly half strongly affirm, that our society is facing a leadership crisis. Because there are simply not enough good leaders to follow right now. And this is important to me. It's important to us, because I am one. And many of you are leaders, and the people of our world perceive, if they perceive a leadership crisis, then we need to talk about the shape of leadership, specifically in our church. Because as I say, a church is only as strong as her leaders. The shape of leadership. Now, at CCW, we believe that God knows best and we stand on his word, the Bible, and the Bible gives us all kinds of examples of leadership. Good examples of leadership, bad examples of leadership, and the best example of leadership of all time. I will give you one guess who I'm talking about. Jesus. You see, when it comes to leadership, we have in the pages of Scripture, the life and the death and the resurrection and the leadership model of the greatest leader that ever lived, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the grave to prove that he was God. And our model of leadership is something we can learn from, and we need to model our lives after. It's called servant leadership. This is Jesus-style biblical leadership. Remember those words, servant leadership. You see, Jesus, God in the flesh, with all of the power in the universe. In fact, John calls him the Word made flesh, who spoke life into the universe himself. He could have come to earth and led any way he wanted to. But how did Jesus lead? He led with love. He led with sacrifice. He led with humility. Jesus led by serving. John chapter 13, John tells us a story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. They're smelly, gross feet. Sorry, Haley. My niece is here today, and she does not like feet stories, okay? But that's what Jesus was doing. He got on his knees, and he washed his disciples' feet. The Lord and teacher led by serving humbly. And then he tells them to wash one another's feet as well, and that they would be blessed if they led by serving humbly just like he did. Matthew chapter 20, the words of Jesus. He says, "You know that the rulers and high officials act like lords and exercise authority over them." Like this is how the world exercises their leadership. But verse 26, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And verse 28, Jesus-style leadership, "Just as the Son of Man," Jesus himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus-style servant leadership. The Apostle Paul reflects on this, words from God in Philippians chapter 2, when he talks about our relationships with each other as the church. He says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Verse 6, Philippians 2, Jesus being in very nature God, did not consider God equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus, listen, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus-style servant leadership. We can learn a lot from the leadership of Jesus. In fact, I think servant leadership will change our homes. Leading like this will change our communities, the businesses, this church, and the world. And I think even the perception of those 18 to 35-year-olds would change if people would lead the way Jesus taught us to lead. You know, all through his biographies, we see Jesus, the servant leader, making disciples. And these disciples would then pass his style of leadership along. In fact, Jesus passed his servant leadership style along to 12 specific men, disciple makers, called the apostles. This was another group of leaders. And by following the great mission of Jesus, the apostles made more disciples, who then became disciple makers in their homes and in their villages and churches all over the world. We see this in the book of Acts. And some of these disciple makers would become kingdom leaders in their own communities, in their own homes, in their own churches. And we see this progression, and then these some specific leaders of these new churches, these communities, were called elders, probably because they were the old guys, and they had wisdom, and they had experience, and they loved Jesus. These elders were also called pastors, shepherds, overseers. Now, who elders are, they are disciple makers. Just kind of, you know, these weren't like angelic beings or some mystical. No, these elders were men who lived in their churches and in their communities. They were disciple makers who spiritually led their churches. The biblical qualifications and description for elders are found in the New Testament, especially in places like 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 5. And these passages, hopefully you've been studying them. They've been in your bulletin inserts the last few weeks. In fact, they're there now, so you can look those up and study them on your own, because these elders still exist today. They still exist here at CCW. You heard Dave McGrew talk about this earlier this morning. Currently, we've got 12 amazing men who are elders in our church. And we've got other men who in the church family are doing the work of elders, and other people who have been elders in the past but just aren't on the elder team currently. And I praise God for each and every one of them. Just amazing guys. And again, they would tell you, you know, there's nothing special about it. They're just normal guys with jobs, and some are retired, and they, you know, but they have families, you know. But this is the eldership of our church, and this may seem like a stretch, okay? And I want you to just kind of work with me here. But I believe that any man can become an elder if they love and follow Jesus, and if they serve him humbly and love him with their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and if the Holy Spirit grows in him these qualifications. And look, our guys would tell you, our elders would tell you, just like I'm going to tell you, if God could do this with me, he could do it with anyone. If God can make me a leader, put me on, if God can make an elder, he can do it with any of you, I promise. And our elders would say the same. Our men, these CCW elders, these shepherds, they are servant leaders who love you. And it's an honor to be able to serve alongside of them, because I get to see them working and serving in the trenches. They go through the joys and the heartache, and know that you know, there's no glory in being an elder. It's not like they're on some pedestal or some, you know, mystical back room where they're doing these magical things. It doesn't work that way. These are men who pray for you. They visit. They lead groups. They meet every Saturday morning from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, every Saturday, you're welcome to join them if you like getting up that early on Saturdays. They serve in ways that I can't even share with you, because they don't want to be noticed. They take time away from their families. I appreciate their wives and the way that they allow their husbands to do this, and they serve and support them as well. And you know what? Our elders, they have learned from the best. You see, CCW has a great tradition of biblical eldership, leadership through the years, strong leadership. In fact, this strong leadership has shaped CCW to be an effective kingdom force in our community for over 49 years. And y'all, we are just getting started. And you know what? Even if I didn't work here, which I am privileged to do, I would still go to CCW, and I would still be honored to serve here. You know why? Because churches like CCW do not grow on trees. This is a special place. And our guys, these kind of leaders, you know, they're not found everywhere. In fact, I first came to CCW because of her leadership, just like many of you. And through the years, leaders have come and they've gone, but their fingerprints, their blood, their sweat, their work, their prayers, and their impact has been felt all over this place. We truly stand on the shoulders of wonderful servant leaders. Elders, yes. And many, many other men and women and teachers and preachers and ministry leaders and leaders and visionaries and missionaries, some who you won't know until you get to heaven. As I say these words, I can't help thinking about my mentor, Dave Pardue. Many of you knew Dave and loved Dave. He was our senior minister here for 35 years. And he helped lay the foundation for who we are today as a church. Because Dave Pardue made disciples, and he grew kingdom leaders, and he helped CCW establish the current leadership structure that we have. And I praise God for Dave. And I praise God for others like Dave who came before all of us and helped lay this heritage and this foundation for godly leadership. And today, our elders, our leaders are all in to continue what God has started. So I want to ask you to pray for our leaders, to pray for our elders. Whatever it takes, to lift them up before God and hear the words of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Listen to God's word. He says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account to God. The word says, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. You know, God's word says this so that we'll take seriously the role that they have, and also pray, lift up, and even strive to be leaders ourselves. You know, part of the elders' leadership has been to establish ministries all through the years here at CCW, and we're here because of some of those. They're run by ministry leaders. The Bible calls them deacons. We call them ministry leaders. But there's also been a choice to hire paid ministry leaders. We call them staff members, who these staff members, by following Jesus and making disciples themselves, coach our members. They build disciple-making environments. They grow ministry teams, small group leaders. They teach teachers, and they support outreach initiatives like we did Thursday night and more. What you need to know is that our staff at CCW exist and live God's word together. Words like, again, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, I hope this is still fresh on your mind because we just studied it last month. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Here's what our leaders are all about. Listen. Because Jesus Christ himself, again, this is all about him, gave the apostles, the prophets, these are types of leaders, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, gave us those people. Why? To equip the people for works of service. What people? You people. You, us. That we exist to equip and to train the saints of God, the church, for the works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. This is why we're here, until we all reach unity, 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 unity in the faith and in the knowledge. We want to know Jesus. We want to know God together. We're here to help train and equip you so that we can reach unity and knowledge in the Son of God and become mature, growing up. Mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Again, it's all about Jesus, our leader. Verse 15, I love this. Speaking the truth in love. Love, so much love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. Who is the head of the church? You tracking? Who is the head of the church? Right there, that is Christ. He is the head of the church. And from Jesus Christ, verse 16, the whole body is joined together. We are all joined together and we're held together by every supporting ligament. And we grow as it builds itself up in love. As each shape does its work. You do your work. You do your thing. I do. Together. Each part does its work. This is God's word to his church. We keep these verses in front of us as a staff constantly. So what I want to do for just a couple minutes is just kind of give you a quick look at the shape of the staff of CCW, because the truth of the matter is we're kind of unique, okay? We have a unique maybe structure from other churches, because those of us on staff are hired to serve based on our gifting and talents and not really on our position or some church hierarchy or even a corporate ladder like, you know maybe you've seen before. For example, we don't have a typical senior pastor, a senior minister. We do have a senior minister, all right? His name is Jesus, all right? Jesus is our senior pastor, all right? We follow Jesus. And I know this is kind of strange for some of us. In fact, people have left CCW because we don't have a preacher. Or, who's the preacher around here? I was like, are you kidding me? We have got lots of great preachers around here. Every time you come in the door, it's like an amazing message that we love to hear. We've got so many great preachers. But instead of a senior minister, instead of that one senior guy, what we have is what we call a core team or a senior ministry team. It consists of myself and Jeff Jacobs, our executive minister, Josh McGrew, our discipleship minister who did the announcements earlier, Patrick Haas, our outreach minister, and we formed this ministry team. Now myself, what I do is that I get the privilege of being called the pastoral minister. Now we kind of made that up. All right, what that really means is, I figured this out about 3 weeks after they gave me the title or whatever it is, that I'm the old guy. That's what that means. I'm the old man. Now, what that means, though, is that what I do is I preach about 25 times a year. About half the time, I get the honor of preaching. I also get to oversee the Sunday morning worship experience, including the other preachers that you see on stage. And like I said, man, it's an honor to be able to work with these guys. Some of those preachers are our elders. Our elders will preach about 10 to 12 times a year. In fact, you've met Chris Freeman. Chris preaches about once a month, and he is such a gifted communicator. I hope you appreciate what Chris does as one of our elders when he preaches. Our ministry staff will preach about another 10 times or so. And then the rest of those Sundays, which there's very few, will be split up between ministers in training, like Dale Girardin. You met him last week. He came up here and preached with that ugly Yankee jersey on, and you know, the catcher's equipment, and he taught us about the Word of God. But Dale is one of those men. And we'll also sometimes you'll see guest speakers, like returning preachers who grew up at CCW, or maybe a visiting missionary. Now, along with the preachers, I also get to spiritually care for the staff. And I get to grow leaders and build and coach our visitation team, our prayer team, and train leaders by doing pastoral visits and sometimes counseling and services. Like, I get to do weddings and funerals. And the thing about our staff, and I'm just one of a remarkable team that's just an honor to be able to work with, is that our staff, just like you, are commissioned to make disciples and do outreach and serve in the community. We're in small groups and we serve just like you do. But we also have job descriptions that we're paid to do based on our gifts and our calling and our talents. So along with the core team, along with the four of us, we've got other staff members who were just, again, just an all-star team of people, like Jesse Diaz, who leads our worship team, and Eli, our youth minister, and Linwood, who you met earlier, who works with our kids, and Shelly, who brings his preschool kids up here and does such a great job with them, Ann Topping, who works with Cornerstone, our counseling ministry, Nate and Kathy in the office, and Jan Pardue, who oversees our food services, and ministry interns. I'm telling you, we have got an all-star team of staff members here, and leaders and elders that contribute to the cause of Jesus. And it is an honor to work with them. And we are here to train and equip you, the people of God. That's what we go to bed thinking about and wake up thinking about. Here to train you as we together follow Jesus and become disciple makers and grow into kingdom-minded, servant-hearted leaders everywhere we go. You are servant leaders at home. Some of you students at school, at work, and here on campus. You are the heroes. Like I said, I work with this all-star team, but you guys are the real heroes as God invests and grows you 7 days a week, especially on Sunday. So I praise God for you. And I praise God for our ministry leaders, our servant leaders. In fact, I want to include parents here because you are leading your kids and discipling them. Again, students, our small group leaders and teachers, ministry team leaders in places like guest services and the cafe and the parking lot ministry, all those under these ministry, our AV guys, man, you guys do an amazing job back there. And they, you know, because Nate and others invest in them as their ministry leaders. Our family ministry, like I mentioned a couple times before, outreach, all under ministry teams, like Feed the Team and Pickleball and Cornerstone. You know, all those things exist because ministry team leaders have jumped in and said, you know what, we're going to do this, and we help train them and equip them and come alongside of them to do the works of service that God has given them to do. And I can't name them all, but you know who you are, and you're doing it, and we appreciate what you're doing so much. Thank you for your servant leadership. You know, Romans 12:7 says this: if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. In that same passage, verses 6 through 8, but I love this verse, says, in his grace, God has given all of us different gifts for doing certain things well. And we're going to learn about these things in the next couple weeks together, but if you want to get started today, if you want to start to discover your shape and begin serving or maybe leading out, or, you know, I want to encourage you to visit Josh out at the Next Steps desk today, or go online to our website and investigate your shape. Come back next week. Look in your sermon notes and you'll find a list of resources as well. Just get started and you will be glad that you did. Now, to end today, I thought what would be best to do is to introduce you to a couple living examples of the shape of leadership. I'm going to bring them on stage for a, you know, for a brief interview, but as I do, I just thought it'd be good for us to meet a couple of them. So first one I want you to meet is Tim Hayworth. All right, Tim Hayworth, come on up, Tim. Tim is one of our elders here at CCW. Tim's done just about everything there is to do around here as far as servant leadership. He's a great friend of mine, and he's got a lot to share. Now, Tim's got a great testimony that he will share with you. We're not here to talk about that necessarily, but he'll be able to share, you know, who he is in Christ and all that kind of stuff on a separate, just individually. But Tim, man, thank you for everything you're doing. Yeah, let's give Tim a hand. I'll let him tell you what he does in just a second. You're not wearing a red shirt today. Yeah, okay, you got that right. All right, the next man I want you to meet is Jeff Jacobs. Jeff Jacobs, come on up. Where are you at, Jeff? There he is. Jeff is our executive minister. He's also one of our elders here and one of my best friends in the world. And both of these men love Jesus so much, and they've found ways through the years from first walking in the doors of CCW to begin servant leadership. And now we see them as elders. We see them as Jeff, one of our staff members, actually started as a young lad here at CCW at the ripe young age of something teen, was actually married here, decided he figured out his shape early on, and then became our youth minister, then became our family minister, and then our executive minister. So I know God's given you quite a journey. So what I would like you to do for just a couple minutes is just kind of share with us how you were discipled to kind of figure out your shape and begin serving here at CCW. So,
first thing I have to do is figure out how to turn his mic on.
Again? Tim, we gave you a first shot, first service.
You know, you talked about all these ministries I've served in. AV is not one of them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there's good reason for that. The other one would be children's ministry, which the last time I was there, I held a two-year-old by the name of Brady Jacobs, and he started crying on me, and they told me that was enough. You can leave now. So,
Brady told you that?
No, he was two.
Oh, he was two. Okay.
And, he's got and quite I a reached book. Out for him. I'll never forget. I reached out for him, and he had this look on his face. It was like a volcano just slowly starting, and the bottom lip comes out, and all of a sudden it just erupted. Oh. And that was a long time ago, but it's certainly one of my greater service memories around here.
Wow, when I invited you two up here, I didn't know you had that bond. You know, I didn't know you had that, you know, that common story.
Well, yeah, it was. It's been quite a journey. When I first started coming here, it was at the behest of a guy that I was told to look up when I moved to Florida by the name of Randy Jackson. I worked with a gentleman in Kansas that used to work with Randy in Iowa. And, you know, funny how, you know, God works through people and conversations to put people together. But it was probably the launch pad for any kind of ministry that I was ever to be involved in. You know, though being a believer, you know, I didn't have that service mentality. I didn't know what my gifts were until, you know, the S and Shapes talked about spiritual giftedness, until I was able to see and understand by taking those spiritual giftedness tests, I didn't know what my gifts were. I was probably much more of an introvert than most of you would recognize today. There's probably, I'd hate to guess how many people I've put my arms around at some point or another in the last 18 or 19 years here. But it all started with someone asking me to serve. And men, I'll direct this directly at the men, and the women can elbow your men as you go along. But one of the greatest ways to get a man to serve is another man to ask him. Mm-hmm. For my ministry as a lead usher for 10 years, there were so many guys that I could watch come in week after week and kind of wonder what their role was, what their shape was, and be able to reach out to them and get them to plug in. But it started with someone asking me, and I can't be any more grateful for that. Just someone reaching out and recognizing that I had something to offer, some gifting.
Yeah, part of your story I know is that that's actually how you began serving, was as an usher, and now you're, you know, and then you became a lead usher. So I don't, just to, momentarily, I just really want to give it up for our ushers, those who serve us communion and help us get seated today. So ushers, thank you for all you're doing. Tom Rivett. Yeah, Dusty, you know, before he passed, was the ministry leader there. Now Tom Rivett leads that up. Tim's done that before. It's just an amazing. Again, that's an example of a ministry leader who's got some, you know, some men under him that do that. So, yeah.
But it was you know, it wasn't anything that came easy or come natural. But as time went, I was able to see that other people put that confidence in me that I Right. didn't have in myself. And that was just so important. Just personality, comes into play. Most certainly anybody that knows me has either heard a portion or a good part of my life experience, which in first service, I related it to an old Clint Eastwood movie by the name of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. But every bit of that was instrumental in getting me into into this place and into this role that I get, I'm just grateful to have right now.
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. How about you, Jeff? How did you figure all this out?
I was an older teenager when I came to CCW, and it was because of a girl. And so I'd like to thank the Fleming family for creating a beautiful daughter. And I chased them up here to the Spring Hilaria into the woods from Newport Richie. That sounded like a big thing. I'm not a city guy. But they just moved this way, and so I got to visit the church. And a few years later, I didn't just chase the girl. I got to catch her. So we got married up in Building D when it was the church building. And so we've kind of got to grow as the church has grown. And part of that is when we started having kids, we felt like we should serve. And so we were twos and threes teachers, and then fours and fives teachers, and then kindergarten teachers and elementary teachers. And we just did, whatever our kids were doing. And the church hired a youth minister. His name was Eric Lang. And I think for the first time, my parents created the foundation. I had some great youth ministers growing up, but Eric was my age, yet he was spiritually mature beyond the number of years he'd been here, and I just could sit down with him and talk about anything, and he was really helping to disciple me, and although I might not have called it that at the time, but he was helping guide and direct and saying things like, you could be a youth minister. You're okay at this, and you should consider trying to do this. And I kept going, well, I'm a school teacher. I like teaching. You're not wrong about that. I get the summers off, so I'll come volunteer at the church. I can do all the summer trips, so that was a good start. And then eventually he left, and the church asked if I was interested, and I had a bunch of reasons why I couldn't. It was mostly because I was scared, and once I got past the fake reasons, I said I'll give it a try, and I've been giving it a try for 15 years, so it's been pretty good. But the people, especially Eric, and there's been many other people since that who have spoken to our lives. As far as eldership is concerned, for the last 4 or 5 years, people had come to me and asked, and I said, I'm already on staff. I don't feel like I need to. Again, internally, I was just scared of the extra responsibility, and I didn't want to do it. And so Randy Jackson asked if we could study a book called Biblical Eldership together. And so I started meeting with him once a month, and we kind of went through those lessons. It's a great book, great workbook. Anyone in here can take it. It doesn't matter who you are, you'd learn a bunch. And eventually he just said, so what's holding you back? And I told him the real thing. It was just fear. And so we talked about that for a few more months, and I said, I should probably just not be scared my whole life. But saying too many words now, but I didn't get baptized when I was a teenager because mostly I was scared. I had a bunch of good reasons, like I'm never going to be perfect, and so I can't commit my life to God because I know I'm going to fail, and I had people in my life to tell me why there's an error in my thinking there, and I really adopted the same view of eldership is that I know I'm still going to mess up, but I can't mess up when I'm an elder, and so I can't, and so I eventually worked that out because that's what you do. You keep learning, you keep growing, and glad I said yes.
Yeah, good. Yeah, me too. Me too, for sure. Jeff mentioned that Biblical Eldership book. It is in our resource center, and it's available to anyone to read. It's a really remarkable resource. In fact, I think most all of our elders have gone through that that course too as well together. Yeah, and you've got a school teacher, a truck driver, wanders in. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. All right.
I can't say it, man. I've got a response for that, but I can't say it right now.
Okay, all right, yeah. You know, but God, you know, just kind of brings them in and, you know, and again, much like you and I, and just starts to grow us and disciple us through other people, and that's what it's about. And then they become disciple makers and kingdom leaders in their own right. So praise God for that. Why don't you tell us real quick just kind of what it means to be a leader now at CCW, like maybe, you know, something you'd like to share with us as a church that means a lot to you. What's it mean to be an elder or a leader?
For me, I didn't expect this. But from where I come from, a very small town, we have more people come through here on a Sunday, almost as many people that I, in the town that I grew up in. I grew up in a small town of about 1,100 people in southwest Iowa. And to think that we have as many people as we do to come through here, and I get to be a part of leading this group is just daunting and humbling more than anything. I jokingly say it's the second greatest con I've ever pulled. The first one was getting my wife to say yes. So, you know, I think I've won on both occasions there.
Yeah, is there something special about, I mean, by the way, Mary and Kara and our elders' wives, I just want to say personally, in front of everyone, how much we appreciate you and the time and the energy and the sacrifices you guys make for us. You know, I know there's times in the middle of the night, there's times when you get phone calls, there's times when you got to say goodbye to your husband when the kids are, you know, this and that, and I know I just appreciate you very much as wives, and in fact, all of our leaders. And their wives and their husbands. Thank you for the sacrifices you guys make so we can do kingdom work. But yeah, Tim, I appreciate, you know, and being an elder, I know you've got, you know, a lot of, you know, skills and abilities and talent. I don't know if there's maybe something you want to say on behalf of the church.
Well, I think there's, I guess in a way it's kind of, you know, I look at it with some humor. I look back at the beginnings, and I've done so many things around here, but the things that come to mind are you know, pulling a kid's tooth and, you know, cleaning the women, you know, cleaning up the women's restroom, you know.
Servant leadership.
But, yeah, somebody,
I've seen Tim take I've seen Tim take neighborhood kids aside, one-on-one, boys who, you know, just probably not a father figure or whatever in their life, and sitting on the couch with them for an hour while the rest of us are, you know, are doing other things, and you know, just humbly investing in, you know, in young men, and I appreciate things like that. That's servant leadership, Tim.
Those are, you know, those are the things sometimes I even just forget about. I don't. It's just something I've been blessed with a gift to be able to do.
Yep.
You know, beyond anything else, it's nothing that I've done. It's just God working through me, and I'm hopeful that he can continue to do that.
Yep, and he is one of you, and I've seen many of you do the same thing, and, you know, because that's the culture that we have here. It's a culture we want to continue to grow here. Thanks, Tim. And Jeff, what are you thinking as far as your, what does being a leader, what does being an elder, you know, servant leader here mean to you? You'd like to share with us?
I started here because I love kids, and when I first started, I got to be honest, I only cared about the kids in the youth ministry, and it was even a struggle. Tim was actually a dad, and it was harder for me to work with the parents because, one, that whole scared thing kept coming back up. But, you know, once you've had one encounter with the parent, it's easier to have the second encounter. And at some point, it took me a few years, I realized that I couldn't just care about one piece of the church. And although I wanted them to be looked at like they're not growing to be part of the church one day, they're already part of the church. There's no age limit to what this looks like. But caring about the whole church took me a while. And so I think one of the things is it doesn't matter what age you are, but we care about everybody now. And not just everyone that can hear us today, but we care about everyone who didn't make it to get up to church today. And so the things that we do sometimes brings make CCW look good, or those works of service make us look good, but that can never be the purpose. And whether we hand out water one day, or we have a sport that we play in the gym, or we do some sort of outreach, the only thing that really matters is that we are, you know, doing it for God's glory, and we're giving Him the praise and Him the credit. And so that's kind of what I think of when I think of the church.
Yeah. And we're going to continue to do that. It's not about us. It's about literally doing what God says to do, you know, and lift up the name of Jesus so that men and women will come to Him. You know, we're not here to, I mean, we celebrate our church and to celebrate our leadership, but really it's only because of God's love for us and the way that He served us first. So, man, I appreciate you guys so much for just kind of sharing with you. Jeff and Tim will be up here up front. In fact, if any of our elders, a lot of them come to first service, but if you're here this morning, you want to come up front, we'll be here to answer questions and meet with you. Our prayer team will be here as well. Let's go ahead and stand together, and we'll have a closing prayer. And again, as Jeff said, just to continue to leave this place and to be the light of the world and to live for Jesus in a way that other people will come to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are awesome. We love You so much. Thank You for loving us first. Thank You for serving us first. Thank You for rescuing us. And God, I know that our lives are a reflection of who You are to us in this church. God, we exist so that we can lift up the name of Jesus, so we can serve You and love You and serve people and love them. And God, I pray that if it ever becomes about us or our brand or our name, if it ever becomes about an individual or a group of individuals, God, that You would just stop this entire thing from happening. But God, I pray over us that if this is Your will, God, if we are in tune with You and You are leading us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, standing on Your word, God, that nothing would stop us from being the light of the world in our community, God. So many people need to know You, become Christ followers here on earth so they can be in heaven one day. God, so many people are learning and understanding what it means to become a disciple maker and share the vision and the mission of Jesus. And so many people, God, here, I know, are investigating leadership and what that means in their community, in their workplace, in this church. And God, I pray that by the power of Your love and Your Spirit in us, that You would lead us, that we wouldn't say no, but that we would say yes, that we continue to pray and to fast and to lift up our leadership to You. God, as we pray together and as we work together and serve together, God, we just want to lift up Jesus, our Savior and our King. It's all about Him. And as we leave this place today, I pray that we will go out and lead other people, love other people, and serve other people the way You did for us. We love You, Lord, and we thank You. The precious and mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.